Welcome to the program, co-host of the Golden Boys, Cavs Insider and ESPN 850 in Cleveland, Emmett Golden, everybody. Yep. Hi, Emmett.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Not bad. How are you doing?
I'm all right. You know, a little bit of confusion going on here in Cleveland. I'm not the only one. You know, you talk about a series that you just it felt like the Cavaliers had a tight grip on it, and next thing you know, it's tied 2-2, and it's become a really good series.
Yeah, it has. You know, and it's funny, the Toronto Raptors left with their tail between their legs after those first two games in Cleveland, and everybody, and I mean everybody here, just assumed, hey, listen, this thing is done. Let's just enjoy watching the greatest two-way player in the universe play some basketball and appreciate the fact that we got as far as we did. We don't ask for much, but when we do, we expect a lot. And, you know, you turn around and in the blink of an eye, the Toronto Raptors have not just made this a series, but, you know, I think that they've obviously put a charge into the Cleveland Cavaliers. And I wonder, though, do fans down there still think that, you know what, it's a foregone conclusion. The Cleveland Cavaliers are probably going to win. They'll win at home tomorrow, and then they'll probably win in game six. Or are they, you know, genuinely kind of threatened by the Toronto Raptors, and do they believe that this still could go either way?
Well, the Cavalier fans still feel like they can end up winning this series, but I think a lot of Cavs fans now go, you know what, it's going to be tough to win in Toronto. So I think everybody around here thought it was going to be a sweep, maybe even five games. Right now, I can tell you personally, I think it's going to go seven, and with each team winning its home games, because, you know, the Raptors are a different team up there in Toronto, and the Cavs are a different team at the Cube. You know, I've never seen a situation where, you know, two teams play so terribly on the road, because the Raptors team that we've seen over the past two games, they weren't there in Cleveland in the first two games, and vice versa for the Cavaliers. So I've got this thing going seven now, but we're still pretty confident that with home court and how well the Cavaliers have played at home, that they can still get this.
We just played a clip, I don't know if you heard it, Tyronn Lue basically saying he didn't want to put Kevin Love back in, so he stayed with Channing Frye late in the game because the environment was too hostile and it wasn't fair for Kevin Love. Is that the narrative on Kevin Love in Cleveland, or, you know, is something changed with his team? Because he has not been here for these two games?
Yeah, well, he's disappeared on the road, and he has not been what the Cavaliers need him to be or expect him to be. And I think Ty Lue did the right thing. Channing Frye was given the Cavaliers so much more than Kevin Love could. Love couldn't hit anything last night, and he starts to sulk, and he starts to put his head down when he doesn't hit shots. And it wouldn't even have been close at the end, in my opinion, if you put Kevin Love back there out on that floor, because Channing Frye was really hot from behind the three-point line and actually got the Cavs back in it. You know, he went on a run there that made it a ball game, so it was the right move. I know it's been going on all year in Cleveland. Should the Cavaliers have traded Andrew Wiggins for Kevin Love? Now, when Kevin Love goes out and gives you 26 and 15 and everybody goes, yeah, that was a great trade. On nights like this and like last night and a few nights ago, then people start wondering, was it the right move? And is Kevin Love the weakest link of the big three? And up until this point, at least, you know, in this series, he has been. He's really let the Cavaliers down.
What are people going to be talking about on sports radio or in sports media and columnists? What's the temperature of the fan this morning? I know you said they still feel like they can get it done, but is it, when you listen to radio, you do sports radio, will people be calling in talking about what needs to happen and breaking down the game and trying to be the coach, or are people just going to continue to believe that the Cleveland Cavaliers are a better team and it's just a matter of time?
Well, we'll probably get one of two types of calls today. We'll get the positive fan, which there aren't a lot of positive fans in Cleveland, but we'll get the, hey, you know, the Cavaliers have home court, no need to worry. And the other call we'll get, which I expect these type of calls to really burn up our phone line today, is, you got to get rid of this guy. You got to get rid of that guy. Tristan Thompson makes way too much money for the, you know, type of output he's been giving the Cavaliers right now. And Kevin Love is the weakest link. There are going to be a lot of upset and angry fans here because that's just kind of how Cleveland is. You know, Cleveland really, really focuses on what's wrong, you know, a lot more than what's right. So, yeah, there'll be a lot of I got a feeling that Tristan Thompson and Kevin Love, I even heard a little bit, they're going to be the whipping boy today. And to a certain extent, I understand it. Those are two guys extremely important to this team that haven't, you know, carried their weight so far.
Yeah, no, we got three or four phone calls this morning asking what was wrong with Luis Scola, who played 14 minutes, and now James Johnson needs to guard LeBron James. No one's talking about, you know, Kyle and DeMar going off for 35 and 32 respectively and being tied with a much better team. So it's hilarious how down in the mouth people get about the weirdest stuff.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, at least, like, in Cleveland, we're kind of used to, you know, being the bad team. So when you have a team that, you know, is really good, a championship contender like the Cavaliers, a lot of our fans don't really know how to handle it. You know, and even still to a certain extent, after game three, you know, we're thinking everybody's going to call and talk Cavs. And, you know, a large percentage of people did. We actually had someone call and wanted to break down the special teams unit for the Browns. And I'm like, oh, great. During the playoff run, you want to talk special teams on the Browns, too. Cleveland fans are great.
Emin, you talk about all the heat that Thompson and Kevin Love are getting, but shouldn't LeBron get some of that heat? Isn't he the de facto GM? Isn't he the one who facilitated that trade, wanted Kevin Love there? Isn't he the one who wanted Tristan Thompson re-sign, even though he'll say, no, I'm not the GM. I don't want these guys on this team. Shouldn't he be getting a little bit of that heat? Because these are his boys he's playing with right now.
Well, yes, I think it's tough. You know, when the look at LeBron as a general manager, I think it was more prevalent last year because he played a big role in Sean Marion and Mike Miller and Kendrick Perkins being on this team. And those were three guys who didn't impact the game at all. And once those guys have gone, and Griffin's kind of, David Griffin, the Cavs general manager, he made the trade for Channing Frye that's really paid off. He made the trade to bring Shumpert and J.R. Smith here. So from a roster moving standpoint, the biggest thing David Griffin is on the hook for is firing David Black, because David Black took a depleted Cavaliers team six games deep into the finals. Now, if just in case, if, you know, Toronto keeps playing well and ends up beating and upsetting the Cavaliers here, then you have to really question that move. Was it the right move to get rid of David Blatt? So I say David Griffin has a ton of heat on him for personnel moves and decisions like that. But LeBron, a lot of fans just judge him on how he plays. And he played pretty well last night, 29 points. I think, you know, we would like to see him be a little more aggressive because I don't believe he took a shot in the last 5 minutes. And when you have one of the best players in the world, he has to be a little more aggressive. And he wasn't really that aggressive last night. So some fans will take him to task for that today. And I'm sure he'll, once he looks at the tape, he'll realize, like, hey, man, late in the game, I have to, you know, take over because he's one of the best to ever do it.
Hey, do Cavs fans see nightmares of Bismack Biyombo?
I think the Cavs fans see nightmares of Tristan Thompson looking at Bismack Biyombo. You know, Biyombo's been playing great, but, you know, the Cavalier fans, we felt like we've had our Bismack. You know, Tristan Thompson normally is a great rebounder, one of the best offensive rebounders in all the NBA. So he has his hands full right now with Bismack, and I really admire those guys because, you know, some people, you have to be gifted with a shot. You have to be gifted with certain things. Rebounding takes effort. Everybody in this world can give effort. And when you see a guy out there laying it on the line, willing to go and do anything to get after that basketball, I really admire the job that Biyombo's been doing here against Tristan Thompson, because he's making Tristan Thompson, you know, look like look like he's not making $80+ million.
Emmett, we were killing LeBron James here in this city after Game 3 with his flopping, and we saw the antics that he had. What was the sense in Cleveland? What were the people in Cleveland saying after that Game 3 when he's clearly flopping around a little bit? Just not a good look for the best player in the world. Did people in Cleveland have the same thoughts, or he's so beloved that they kind of looked the other way?
It's a mix of he's so beloved, he kind of looked the other way, and we've seen it a million times. Like, that's what LeBron does, so we're not really, shocked by it when he gets bumped and does 4 cartwheels and falls into the, the third row of the crowd. We're like, yeah, that's LeBron, that's pretty much what he does. So we're just kind of used to it as a fan base. We know that he will sell things a little bit more, maybe not to the point of kicking someone below the belt, but he will sell it, fall on the ground and roll around a little bit.
Well, he can. Actually, the NBA has set the precedent. He actually can kick anybody below the belt because Draymond Green didn't get suspended and Dante Jones got an $80 fine. So the NBA has sanctioned that as a way to play defense now. I don't know if you know that.
Well, yeah, I really what it depends on is, if the fine's going to be low, then, it's okay. But if it's going to be a high fine, no suspension. I was really taken back by that. Dante Jones, I'm watching that play. I don't know if you could really tell intent, there. Draymond Green's play looked a lot worse, and I even look back to there was a play where Dwayne Wade, against Charlotte, kicked someone below the belt, and I believe he got 2 games. So really, I felt like it was the NBA going, if we suspend Draymond, this series in the Western Conference is probably going to be over, and there's no way we can let that happen. So, life ain't fair. So, you get over it as an NBA fan, but that definitely was a bad move by the NBA.
Appreciate you doing this, Emmett. Pleasure to have you on. I'd say best of luck, but I wouldn't mean it, so I won't. We'll try and get you on another time.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, hey, I wouldn't mean it if I said it to you guys either. So
we'll talk to you soon. Thanks so much for doing this. Emmett Golden from ESPN 850.